as she knew every foot of the place, every rock and thorn and thistle. The great rock wall reared up thrice her height to the left. To the right, the hill shelved away into a shallow, arid valley, which soon rose again towards the foothills of the western range. She looked over all the ground nearby, and saw nothing that she had not seen before.
"Under the red rocks, mistress."
A few yards down the slope, an outcropping of red lava made a stair or a little cliff in the hill. When she went down to it and stood on the level before it, facing the rocks, Arha realized that they looked like a rough doorway, 4 feet high. What must be done? She had learned long ago that in the holy places, it is no use trying to open a door until you know how the door is opened.
"My mistress has all the keys to the dark places."
Since the rites of her coming of age, Arha had worn on her belt an iron ring, on which hung a little dagger and 13 keys, some long and heavy, some small as fish hooks. She lifted the ring and spread the keys.
"That one," Kasil said, pointing, and then placed her thick forefinger on a crevice between two red pitted rock surfaces.
The key, a long shaft of iron with two ornate wards, entered the crevice. Arha turned it to the left, using both hands, for it was stiff to move, yet it turned smoothly.
"Now?" "Together."
Together they pushed at the rough rock face to the left of the keyhole. Heavily, but without catch and with very little noise, an uneven section of the red rock moved inward until a narrow slit was opened. Inside it was blackness. Arha stooped and entered. Kasil, a heavy woman heavily clothed, had to squeeze through the narrow opening. As soon as she was inside, she backed against the door and, straining, pushed it shut. It was absolutely black. There was no light. The dark seemed to press like wet felt upon the open eyes. They crouched, almost doubled over, for the place they stood in was not 4 feet high, and so narrow that Arha's groping hands touched damp rocks at once to right and left.
"Did you bring a light?"
she whispered, as one does in the dark.
"I brought no light,"
Kasil replied behind her. Kasil's voice, too, was lowered, but it had an odd sound to it, as if she were smiling. Kasil never smiled. Arha's heart jumped. The blood pounded in her throat. She said to herself fiercely,
"This is my place. I belong here. I will not be afraid."
Aloud, she said nothing. She started forward. There was only one way to go. It went into the hill and downward. Kasil followed, breathing heavily, her garments brushing and scraping against rock and earth. All at once, the roof lifted. Arha could stand straight, and stretching out her hands, she felt no walls. The air, which had been close and earthy, touched her face with a cooler dampness, and faint movements in it gave the sense of a great expanse. Arha took a few cautious steps forward into the utter blackness. A pebble, slipping under her sandaled foot, struck another pebble, and the tiny sound wakened echoes, many echoes, minute, remote, yet more remote. The cavern must be immense, high and broad, yet not empty. Something in its darkness. Surfaces of invisible objects or partitions broke the echo into a thousand fragments.
"Here we must be beneath the stones," the girl said, whispering.
and her whisper ran out into the hollow blackness, and frayed into threads of sound as fine as spiderweb, that clung to the hearing for a long time.
Yes, this is the undertomb. Go on. I cannot stay here. Follow the wall to the left. Pass three openings.
Kossil's whisper hissed, and the tiny echoes hissed after it. She was afraid. She was indeed afraid. She did not like to be here among the nameless ones, in their tombs, in their caves, in the dark. It was not her place. She did not belong here.
I shall come here with a torch,
Arha said, guiding herself along the wall of the cavern by the touch of her fingers, wondering at the strange shapes of the rock, hollows and swellings and fine curves and edges, rough as lace here, smooth as brass there. Surely this was carven work. Perhaps the whole cavern was the work of sculptors of the ancient days.
Light is forbidden here.
Kossil's whisper was sharp. Even as she said it, Arha knew it must be so. This was the very home of darkness, the inmost center of the night. Three times her fingers swept across a gap in the complex rocky blackness. The fourth time, she felt for the height and width of the opening and entered it. Kossil came behind.